The 2024 NFL Draft heads to Detroit, and it's time to see who gets the job.
Caleb is a unique and special talent throwing the football.
And what sets them apart.
The Heisman Trophy winner is Jaden Daniels.
All of the greats were hired here.
What a throw by Mahomes.
See who gets the job.
Are you ready?
The 2024 NFL Draft begins Thursday, April 25th on ESPN, ABC, and NFL Network.
Good morning. It is time to get up with a wild night in the NBA. The fans were desperate and in one case disgraceful. We've got all the details. Then Aaron Rodgers couldn't be farther from Green Bay, and one former NFL star is furious on his behalf. You need to hear this. Plus, Trevor talks Tebow, and what he says could easily decide how this story ends. All that and a whole lot more as we get up with you starting right now from Bristol. Greeny here, delighted to be back where it all began, delighted to be with you, and delighted to have plenty of people to talk to this morning. Take a look at the squad that we've assembled for the football today. Diane is ready to go. Chris Canty's in the studio, and you never know where D. Wood will take this party. All that and more. But we begin in the center of the action last night, Madison Square Garden, game of the night in the NBA playoffs. Hawks and Knicks, game two. Trae Young was the hero slash villain of game one, depending on who you ask, and he picked up right where he left off last night. Second quarter, Hawks up nine. Just watch Young here. Up, under, and good. He had 13 at the break. He had 20 at the break. The Hawks are up 13. Now under a three to go in the third. The Knicks working their way back. Reggie Bullock, yes, ties it at 72. And the fans losing their minds. A minute later, we are still tied. Julius Randle struggles in game one. Knocks this one down. Knicks a one-point lead after three. Early fourth we go. Knicks lead is four. And watch Obi Toppin. Up he goes. And down he throws it. Toppin with a big night. His mom going crazy as the fans were chanting his name. Under five to play, tied at 91. How good has Derrick Rose been? He had 26. Knicks take the lead. About three and a half to play. Same score. Bullock again. Up and good. Trae Young had 30, but it wasn't enough. Knicks win at 101-92. That series is tied at one game apiece. We'll get back to it in a moment. But the big incident of the night took place in Philadelphia. Russell Westbrook. Wizards looking to even the matter with the Sixers. They wouldn't be able to do that, but this is the story. You will see Westbrook. This is early fourth quarter. His team down 17, and Westbrook is down. He will not be getting back up. And as he leaves the floor, take a look at this idiot. Dumps popcorn on him from the stage. The good news, after Westbrook had to be restrained from going up there, is that other fans identified the person who dumped the popcorn. That person was ushered out. Ben Simmons scored 22. The Sixers won, but that didn't seem like the story.
To be blatantly honest, man, this shit is getting out of hand, especially for me. Just the amount of disrespect, the amount of just fans just doing whatever the they want to do. It's just, it's out of pocket, man. It's out of pocket, seriously. Like, any other setting, you know, I'm all for the fans enjoying the game and having fun. And, you know, it's part of sports. I get it. But there are certain things that cross the line. And any other setting, I know for a fact that fans, and they wouldn't come up. A guy wouldn't come on the street and pour popcorn on my head because he know what happened.
So, some things should go without saying, but we'll take a moment to say them anyway. My uncle Seth Greenberg, no relation, is here, and Big Perk gets up with us this morning as well. And Kendrick, I'll just start with you. When you see something like that happens, what are the first words you want to say this morning?
I mean, it's disturbing, Greeny, and it's just not cool. When you look at the situation, we come out there, guys come out there as a former athlete, as a former NBA player. You come out there to perform and do a job. But you also come out there to give the people what they want. And when people treat you like this, it's just not cool. But the most important thing that I'm proud of is the fans around them that pointed the guy out. That shows a lot. Like, you have to have those fans and people, those other people that are not afraid to call them out and tell them that's not acceptable. And the league have to take action. The league has to have more security, you know, and do their job because, like Russ said, especially with me, if you saw this 6'10", 320-pound body frame, would you do that to me in the streets?
Point well made. Uncle Seth, what do you think?
I think the person has to be prosecuted. Because here's the thing. In society today, everything escalates. So one day it's popcorn. Next time it's a beer. A guy might have a battery or a phone and drop it down. And it's basically assault. It might be popcorn. It's not going to hurt him. There's got to be a safe haven for players. They've got to be protected. And if they're not protected, you have an issue. Because all they're doing is out competing. Fans, I'm all for fans. I'm all for fans being engaged in a game. But if you cross the line, basically kicking the guy out is not enough. You've got to send a message saying this type of behavior is unacceptable. It's great pointing people out, but there's got to be a consequence. Look, it could be a charge that's going to be dropped. Obviously, that person should not be allowed in the arena again. But you've got to send a message, a clear message to others that this type of behavior is unacceptable. Because the next thing, it's going to be a beverage. The time after that, it might be a battery. Who knows? Look, I've played in arenas where we've had things thrown at us, whether it's coins, whether it's batteries, whether it's other things. So you know what? They need to send a message.
Yeah. Look, I mean, we've said it a million times. Just because you paid the price of admission doesn't mean you get to check your humanity at the door. Again, something should go without saying, and yet it feels like we constantly need to say them. That said, let's go back to the first game that we showed there. Seth, I'll start with you. Knicks, Hawks, even at a game apiece, very evenly matched series in so many ways. Who's going to win and why?
You know, right now I'm going to say Atlantic's had more ways to score. The Knicks have a chance, and this is how the Knicks have a chance. Look, you cannot let Trae Young beat you, plain and simple. You've got to get the ball out of his hands and make it hard for him to get back. You make and make someone else make shots and make plays. If the ball's in his hands, you know what he showed? Great patience, great poise. Obviously, everyone talks about the logo range. Logo range is out. What he's doing is he's making the game easier for everyone else. So what you've got to do is you've got to find a way to get the ball out of his hands. They did that the last 5 minutes of the game. The second thing is Derrick Rose, you got to play 35 minutes. Because if you have Elfrid Payton on the court and you have Nerlens Noel on the court at the same time, you're playing 5 against 3. And they're just going to load the box and give all that help on Julius Randle. And finally, get the ball to Julius Randle in the middle of the floor. Where all of a sudden, if you help, he's kicking it out. You get it to him on the side, and Kendrick knows they're just coming to help.
Big Perk, same question to you. One apiece is the score in the series right now. Who's going to win it and why?
I got the Hawks. I got the Hawks winning because they have more offensive firepower. When you look at a guy like Trae Young, obviously he can give you 25 or 30 a night, but they have others. They have Bogdanović. They have Lemon Pepper Lou, who's coming in off the bench. Herder can shoot the lights out. But look, John Collins had 0 points last night. This is a guy that has been averaging 18-8 throughout the regular season. He won't have that type of performance at home. Also, Clint Capella, and we all know, even you, Coach Self, is that when you go home, role players play better in front of their home fans. So I'm expecting Atlanta to win this series.
All right, we will keep an eye on that as we go. Much more basketball as the morning continues. Seth and Bert, Big Perk, stay close by. Meantime, back to the NFL we go, where the big story continues to be the Aaron Rodgers saga. He was a no-show, as you know, for Packers OTAs because he was doing that. He was vacationing in Hawaii with his fiance and some friends, their movie stars. Alex Smith, meanwhile, quarterback who was drafted the same year as Aaron Rodgers, was a guest on The Herd, and he was asked about the way the Packers have let this relationship get to this point. This was a fascinating response. Listen.
Surprise. It's inexcusable. It's absolutely, I think.
What do you mean?
How they ever got to this point. I mean, Aaron's been there 16 years, what he's given to that organization. And I don't think it was the fact that they drafted Jordan Love. How do you have a guy like Aaron and you don't go make sure beforehand, you aren't going out of your way to make sure that he knows that he's loved? From my understanding, it's kind of like it was a bit of an unknown, a bit blindsided. How you haven't addressed that beforehand when you make a move like that and really made sure that everybody's feeling good about that? It's just not the way you run a business.
All right, so there's a lot to react to here. And Damian Woody, quickly, I just want to start with you just on that. You hear the quarterbacks have a tendency to stick together, but when you hear Alex Smith say it is disgraceful the way they handled it, is he right?
Yeah, because we know quarterbacks are different than every other player on the roster. I mean, you're talking about a 3-time MVP in this league. So the fact that the organization didn't even provide the courtesy to say, hey, look, this is what we're thinking about doing here. This is kind of our roadmap looking forward. That to me is a slap in the face to the quarterbacks. And we know quarterbacks can be sensitive in this league. There's no question about that. So I just don't understand what Green Bay was doing in that particular moment when they drafted Jordan Love.
All right, just wanted to get that take there, because sometimes it's just the quarterbacks. Then I want to get to the next area of this that I think is interesting. Diana, you were telling me this morning that in your sort of a perusal of the way people around the league are viewing this situation, you've come across an interesting perspective that seems to be the opposite of what I think the conventional wisdom is. And what is that?
Yeah, it's certainly the hottest topic in the league right now, as everyone is watching and putting themselves in the, you know, in the shoes of both the GM, the president, and even Aaron Rodgers. And I had a few GMs actually mention this to me over the last few weeks in terms of how they see this. They describe it as the leverage on the side of Green Bay, right? We've been talking all week long, or at least for the last few weeks, that Aaron Rodgers has the leverage. Well, the leverage could be on the side of the Green Bay Packers, because look, it looks like they're not going to get their league MVP quarterback back on their roster, right? It looks like this is not going to work out. So either they're going to trade him or he's going to sit out next year. Either way, Mike, they don't have their guy. So why not have him sit out all of next year and use that time to do some homework on the future draft picks that they would be trading for? Have conversations with teams that are interested and really work on getting the best value for him. So there are those out there that think Green Bay has no incentive to trade him and can really just sit back here and make Aaron make the move.
It's an interesting perspective when you think about it, Chris Canty, that if they're trading for picks in next year's draft anyway, it doesn't really matter when they do it, whether it's before the season or after. But now, Chris Canty, take me to that scenario. If the Green Bay Packers traded away Aaron Rodgers in the next month or so, they would be able to move on. But can you imagine a season in which this is hanging over the heads of the players in that locker room and on that team literally every single day? Chris Canty, would that team have any chance to succeed under those circumstances?
No, Greeny, they wouldn't have any shot. And it's because of the distraction that this Aaron Rodgers saga creates for the Packers. I mean, you're talking about Matt LaFleur. When he took the job a couple of years ago, there was that huge conversation about whether or not Aaron Rodgers would be able to adjust to the play calling and who was going to have final say over how they handled that. Then you had last year with Jordan Love being drafted and how was that quarterback room going to work together. And now it's Aaron Rodgers potentially not showing up and reigning MVP not being a part of the program. So when you look at the spot that head coach Matt LaFleur is in, I mean, it's a lot of drama. It creates a lot of distractions in terms of him trying to get this team focused on the task at hand, which is trying to compete at the highest level. Because you're talking about a team that reached back-to-back NFC Championship games. So I just think it puts Matt LaFleur in a tough spot, whether you agree with Aaron Rodgers' methodology or not.
I'm with that. D. Wood, I am one who usually thinks that the whole distraction concept is a tad overstated. But in this particular case, if Aaron Rodgers is genuinely holding out into the season, D. Wood, just imagine what that's going to be like.
Yeah, and just to kind of piggyback off of what Chris was talking about, think about this, Greeny. Not only is Aaron Rodgers not at OTAs or not at the Packer facility, but their top wide receivers aren't there. So everyone knows that championships are won in the offseason. You're talking about the offseason program, OTAs, minicamp. If you're trying to get Jordan Love ready and you don't even have your top wide receivers there, think of how that's setting back your young quarterback right in this moment. So this is just a terrible situation for the Green Bay Packers.
And very quickly, Diana, I just have 30 seconds. There is Aaron Rodgers posting all of these incredibly glamorous photos in Hawaii while the team is going through their OTAs. How did that strike you?
Greeny, I think everyone here on this show has felt what it feels like to be in love. At least I hope so, right? And I think we all do weird things when we're in love, and we overshare and overpost. And look, he's getting married to a beautiful actress. I'm married to someone average. I don't post a lot about him. If I was married to someone beautiful, I'd overpost too. So I kind of get it. Go out there, enjoy it, share it to the world. But look, it is obviously a little interesting that now all of a sudden he's discovered love and social media all at the same time.
Yes, it seems to be all over Instagram the moment his team is all over the practice field. We'll take a quick break on that thought. So much more to come, including he's the number one pick, and yet he's not even the center of attention on his own team. What does Trevor think about Tebow? You'll hear it from him. Plus, Dak is back. There are great expectations in Big D. But what will it mean for this team to succeed? We answer those and other questions as we get up with you on ESPN.
NBA fans, listen up. You've got to try Pick 6, the newest fantasy app from DraftKings, an official partner of the NBA. Getting started is simple. Select if a player will have more or less of a stat. For example, will a player have more than one rebound, or will a player have less than 3.5 assists? Pick your favorite players and compete for huge cash prizes. Download the new DraftKings Pick 6 app now using code PARLAY and take on the competition with your best NBA player picks. Only on DraftKings Pick 6 with code PARLAY. The crown is yours. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER. 18 plus in most eligible states. Age varies by jurisdiction. Eligibility restrictions apply. Pick 6 not available in all states, including but not limited to Connecticut and New York. For up-to-date lists of states, visit dkng.co/pick6states. Void where prohibited. See terms at pick6.draftkings.com/promos.
Delicious, meat nutritious, and the snack that packs a real protein punch. Wonderful pistachios, one of the highest protein nuts out there. Each one-ounce serving has 6 grams of protein, giving you over 10% of your daily value. Wonderful pistachios also come in a variety of flavors and sizes, perfect for enjoying with family and friends or taking them with you on the go. And you're on the go a lot, taking the kids to school, hopping from meeting to meeting, shopping for groceries. Well, the good news is, not only are Wonderful pistachios a complete protein, providing all 9 essential amino acids, they're also great for all your adventures. So whether you're a pistachio purist who loves cracking open every nut, or you prefer the convenience of no-shells pistachios, Wonderful Pistachios has got you covered. Grab Wonderful Pistachios and elevate your snacking game today. Visit WonderfulPistachios.com to learn more.
We are back on Get Up, and let's take a run through the NFC East with our crew today and do some more or less. D. Wood, 8 wins in Washington, more or less.
He's so nice.
Greeny, this might disappoint you. I'm going less here, and the main reason is Ryan Fitzpatrick. We know that roller coaster can go high, but it also can go low. And with that being said, I just don't know if Ryan Fitzpatrick will be consistent enough to get over that threshold.
That's insane. Canty, next. More or less than 7 wins for the Giants.
Greeny, it better be more, or Dave Gettleman, their general manager, is going to be out, and quarterback Daniel Jones won't be that far behind. But the one thing that I feel good about with the Giants this year is that Daniel Jones will have an opportunity in that Jason Garrett offense year 2 with the full offseason to improve, and including the weapons that they put around him, should be a breakout year for him, which should lead to a lot of success for Big Blue.
I like that. Diana, you're next. More or less, 7 wins for the Eagles.
Put myself out there. I'm going with more. I think that they win 8 games. Look, this game is won in the trenches. I think health is going to help this Eagles team on their offensive line and defensive line. And look, I think a fresh start is good for everyone in Philly. And with the new coaching staff, I think they get a surge this year, Greeny.
I like it. And a reminder, they play 17 games this year. D. Wood, back to you. 9.5 for the Cowboys, more or less.
I'm going more. I think Dak Prescott coming back healthy is going to be one of the best quarterbacks in the NFC. They have a whole cast of characters around him that he'll have one of the best offenses in the league. And if they can just slow down a nosebleed on defense, there's no reason why they should be more than 9.5.
Okay, we will see. Let's talk about Dak before we talk about that defense. He is recovering extraordinarily well, we are told, from ankle surgery after suffering the compound fracture during week 5 of last season. And now that he's back on the practice field, he was asked about his limitations and offered this, again, encouraging response.
I wouldn't say I'm necessarily limited. I think we're just being cautious and being smart in the fact of I'm not doing things when there's a pass rush or guys, you know, potentially falling at the legs or so or something of that nature. But as far as saying I can't do drills or I can't do something, I'm pretty much full go.
Pretty much full go. Diana, fill in whatever blanks we still have in that as far as his health and his recovery.
Yeah, Greeny, the headline here is the Dallas Cowboys feel that Dak Prescott is ahead of schedule in returning from that gruesome injury. They feel really good that he's going to be a full go at the start of the Dallas Cowboys training camp.
Okay, fair enough. So then, D, what I have to come back to you. You know how much I love you, and you know how much I disagree with your takes on both of the teams that we talked about with you in this. So what would constitute, let me ask you this, in your mind, what would constitute a successful season for the Cowboys this year?
Well, first of all, Greeny, you're not going to get me saying that the Dallas Cowboys are going to the Super Bowl. I'm out of the Super Bowl business for the Dallas Cowboys. But I do think that they ultimately win the NFC East and get a playoff victory. I think that would constitute a victory for the Dallas Cowboys. Listen, Dak Prescott coming back off that gruesome injury. I don't worry about Dak Prescott at all. Last time we saw Dak Prescott, he had that Dallas Cowboys operating at one of the highest levels in the National Football League at the time. We saw the impact of when Dak Prescott went down with injury. That team was in disarray, and we haven't even gotten to the defensive side of the football. So if Dan Quinn can at least get these guys looking average, just looking average on defense, this Dallas Cowboys team, in my opinion, is going to win the NFC East.
Okay, so Chris Canty, same question to you. What in your mind would constitute a successful season? When it ends, you say, all right, the Cowboys had a good year.
Greeny, I'm agreeing with the big fella, D. Wood. I think it's winning a playoff game. Jerry Jones handed Dak Prescott that contract this offseason with the expectation that the Cowboys would compete for a championship over the life of the deal. Even though I don't think it's going to happen this season, I think we see that Cowboys team take a huge step closer to being able to get to that point. And it's Dak Prescott coming back healthy, but also that offensive line coming back healthy with the skill position players that they already have on that side of the ball. That's a recipe for a huge season for Dak, which is going to lead to success for the Cowboys.
You know, I mean, I think that we have, there's one thing we have determined. It is that the D in Big D stands for delusional, which is the way most people are when they talk about the Cowboys. Diana, let me come to you on a similar thought. When you talk to people around the sport, with a healthy Dak coming back, what do people expect?
So I'm hearing Dan Quinn has really changed this locker room already. And we're talking about a locker room that probably just started up, right, with just the return of these light practices that they're doing, skills and drills last week, OTAs now. The sense I'm getting is not only is the defense re-energized and rejuvenated, but so is Dan Quinn coming off that run in Atlanta and going back to really where he has success, where he has success in the past, which is as a defensive coordinator, a defensive-minded person. So when I get text messages from Cowboys players about their coach without prying, without really pushing, hey, what do you think of Dan Quinn? And I'm just getting feedback from them of this feels different. We're going to be better. Conversations like that I'm having, I think that's just a really good start. Does this mean they're going to come out and be lights out? No. But I do think they're going to take a jump forward, Mike.
We'll see. I mean, the defense was unbearably terrible a year ago. Dan Quinn, whatever it is they're paying him, if he turns that thing around, it is not nearly enough. We'll take a break on that thought. More as we go. Coming up, Trevor talks Tebow, and what he says could easily decide how this story ends. You will hear it from him in just a moment. And then the Jekyll and Hyde start to the playoffs for Anthony Davis. What was the difference in game two? What does it mean for the Lakers going forward? Those are the questions. We've got the answers. Next, get up on ESPN.
Passion, drive, and patience. The formula for winning championships is also what keeps your ride or die alive. eBay Motors has everything you need to maintain your vehicle and level it up to peak performance. Superchargers, roof racks, exhaust kits, LED headlights, and more. Whether you're into speed, power, or style, eBay Motors has you covered. With over 122 million parts for your number one ride or die, you'll always find exactly what you're looking for. And with eBay Guaranteed Fit, your part is guaranteed to fit your ride every time or your money back. Because with eBay Motors, you're burning rubber, not cash. With all the parts you need at the prices you want, it's easy to make your car the MVP and bring home huge wins. Keep your ride or die alive at ebaymotors.com. Eligible items only. Exclusions apply.
Back on Get Up, and let's run the floor through the action in the NBA last night. If you were just joining us, what a series going on between the Knicks and the Hawks. Knicks rally from behind last night to even up that series. 101-92, the final. Derrick Rose has been the best player for New York. He had 26. So that series goes to Atlanta tied at a game apiece. Also one each are Utah and Memphis. The Jazz tying it up with Donovan Mitchell coming back after a sprained ankle caused him to miss game one. He scored 25. Utah won at 141-129. Ja Morant had 47 in the loss. And then the story that had all of us talking earlier this morning, the fan attending the Sixers-Wizards game right there. You see this idiot dumping popcorn on Russell Westbrook, who was being helped off the floor, getting injured late in a game the Sixers would win easily. But afterwards, everyone was talking, including Russell.
To be blatantly honest, man, this shit is getting out of hand, especially for me. Just the amount of disrespect, the amount of just fans is doing whatever the they want to do. It's out of pocket, man. It's out of pocket, seriously. Like, any other setting, you know, I'm all for the fans enjoying the game and having fun. And, you know, it's part of sports. I get it. But there are certain things that cross the line. And any other setting, I know for a fact that fans, and they wouldn't come up. A guy wouldn't come on the street and pour popcorn on my head because he know what happened.
A reaction from so many places, including from LeBron James, who tweeted, "We as the players want to see who threw that popcorn while he was leaving the game. There's cameras all over the arena. Protect the players." It should be pointed out, they did identify the person. They did escort him out. We'll wait and see what else comes of that. And again, we opened with this, and Seth Greenberg is back with us here. We talked about this earlier, but I wanted those just joining us to at least hear what Russell said and see what LeBron tweeted. Meanwhile, we've talked about what happened. Now let's talk about what goes forward. Lakers and Suns, and Anthony Davis clearly has been the key for the Lakers. What was the difference in game one and game two for AD?
Well, you think about it, first and foremost, he got 24 more touches in game two. They got to play through him. They got to play through him early and often. And then when he caught the ball, he's got to be more aggressive. He goes to the line 21 times in game two, only 5 in game one because he settled. Here we're going to see him catch the ball in game one. Now, this is an easy catch. He's catching the ball right there in the middle of the floor, which is a great place to catch the basketball. But if he's going to catch it here, can he make that shot? Yes, but he's got an open side right here, Greeny. He's got a side to drive it, attack, play downhill, get to the free throw line, make a play. Doesn't, settles, misses the jumper. Shot he can make, but he can get a better shot. He did that in game two. Here, a ton of side isolation right here. Left side, they love to isolate him on the left side. Ayton's guarding him right here. Attack, get a paint touch, make a play. Think about this. When he touched the ball in game two, they scored almost twice as many points as they did in game one. Here he settles, shoots a little fadeaway. Good shot. Shot he can make, but not a great shot. You want to play downhill. Game two, different mindset. Playing through him, and he's aggressive. There's that side isolation on the left side. Same matchup. Ayton, they've got good movement here. LeBron goes through. You got to play him. They got spacing all over the floor. That's great. Look at the difference. Anthony Davis here. What does he do? Catches it. Inside pivots. Attacks. Plays through the chest to Ayton. Playing downhill. That's how you get to the line 21 times. Little side isolation. Two-man play with LeBron James. Again, on the left-hand side of the floor. Dunker spot is covered. You got shot makers on the weak side. Doesn't settle. Doesn't shoot the fadeaway. What does he do this time? Rips it. Attacks. Gets to the rim. And gets to the free throw line. Anthony Davis, Lakers want to win a championship. All right, you know at the end of the game, LeBron's taken over. But this guy's got to get touches. 2 assists compared to 7 assists in game two. 21 free throws compared to 5. They scored twice as many points when Anthony Davis touched the ball in game two as game one.
So I guess the question is, if he plays like that, are they again the team to beat in the Western Conference?
Yeah, they are. Because when you have Anthony Davis playing downhill and attacking, you've got LeBron James, and then you spread the court with shot makers. You know they're going to defend. Defense isn't the issue. Offensively, this dude is one of the best players in the world. Play like that every night. To do that, he needs to get touches. At the end of the game, LeBron takes over.
You know, I'm thinking back to last year in the bubble. They lose a game one to Portland and then sweep it. They lose a game one to Houston and then sweep it. Are we looking at what they call a gentleman's sweep again in this series?
I don't think it's going to be a sweep, but I think they're going to win the series. And that's the thing. Look, game one, you're trying to figure out who you are and how you're going to win in this moment in time in the playoffs, which is a totally different game than the regular season. Anthony Davis deferred. He should never defer. He should never settle. He needs to attack. Can he make a three-point shot? Yeah, but he's a 26% three-point shooter. Play downhill, attack, and then let LeBron take over at the end.
He is my Uncle Seth, no relation. Outstanding as always. Thank you, Seth.
Thanks,
great
Brady.
To see
Appreciate
you. And don't forget, we've got a trio of Game 3s coming your way tomorrow night, starting in Atlanta, Knicks and Hawks. That's a big one, 7 Eastern on ESPN. Nets and Celtics are on ABC at 8:30. And cap the night with Clippers Mavs at 9:30 Eastern. Oh, great action coming your way on ESPN tomorrow night. Meanwhile, back to the NFL. Tim Tebow is a Jacksonville Jaguar. The video that we're going to show you right here is brand new from this morning. That is Tebow this morning arriving for work in Jacksonville at the OTAs. The former quarterback turned outfielder is now with the team as a tight end. Meanwhile, all the attention should be on the number one overall pick, Trevor Lawrence, who was asked yesterday his impressions of Tebow early in camp. Here's what he said.
He looks great. You can tell he's just a guy that you want to be around. Character is awesome. Just had a few conversations with him, and I can already tell. And then just a hard worker. You know, no one's going to work harder than him. And those are the kind of guys you want in your locker room and that you want to be around every day. So, and then I'm excited to see what he does on the field as well.
So this story is so fascinating to me, and the opinions sort of run the gamut from basically no big deal at all to very big deal. This is an emergency. What the heck are they doing down there? Chris Canty, which side are you on?
Well, I'm on the side of what the heck are they doing down there in Jacksonville. And you can't look at this Tim Tebow signing in a bubble, right? Context matters. Fact is, Urban Meyer is a college coach that hasn't proven himself as the head guy in the NFL. And we've seen plenty of college coaches that are successful at that level fail in the NFL. Nick Saban failed in the NFL. Chip Kelly failed in the NFL. So did Steve Spurrier back in the day. So this Tim Tebow signing is just another one of those curious moves this offseason with Urban Meyer. Earlier, he tried to go out and hire Chris Doyle, the former Iowa strength coach, and I'm sure that had a lot of players in that Jags locker room looking at Meyer with the side eye. So again, I think that all of these decisions that Urban is making puts Trevor Lawrence in a tough spot because all of these decisions could potentially undermine the credibility of your head coach, and that's the last thing you want as an organization with the guys in that locker room checked out when you're trying to develop a franchise quarterback.
And Diana, we can make it even more interesting because you and I were talking earlier today, and you told me this idea that Tebow is going to be a tight end. A lot of people you're talking to around the league don't buy it. What do they expect him to be?
So they think that Urban Meyer purposely brought Tim Tebow in, one, to set the culture, the competitiveness. We know that he's a new NFL head coach here trying to set the tone for the culture. But the bigger story, I think, that is the most interesting part of this is that there are those in the league who think that Urban Meyer is bringing Tebow in to play quarterback as that Taysom Hill role, using him in that wildcat as we've seen Urban Meyer use in the past. Take a look at all his different offenses. It actually makes a lot of sense. So, yes, he may be on the roster as a tight end, but there may be more to this Tebow experiment than him just playing that position.
Yes, all of us who play daily fantasy know that sometimes Taysom Hill is listed as a tight end even when he starts at quarterback. So does it make sense that at least Urban would be thinking that way? Yes, but Damian Woody, does it make sense? Do you like the idea of Tebow playing the Taysom Hill role in Jacksonville?
Hell no. Like, I mean, Greeny, we're talking about a guy who hasn't played ball in like 8 years. And even when he did play ball, he couldn't throw a lick. We're talking about Taysom Hill. Come on, man. A 34-year-old who's been out of the league this long. And you're talking about bringing in a gadget guy. What sense does that make if you're Urban Meyer? And oh, by the way, you know, going back to what Diana was talking about, setting the culture. How the hell is a backup guy's going to set the culture? That doesn't happen. Ask Chris Canty. Ask any of the former players that's been in this league, and you ask them, has any reserve ever set the culture when it comes to a locker room? It doesn't happen. Like, this whole thing is just a bunch of nonsense.
Chris?
Yeah, I've never heard of that, Greeny. D. Wood is absolutely right. Guys in the locker room only listen to players that are ballers and guys that get paid because that's what everybody wants to do in the NFL. And with a backup in Tim Tebow, a guy that hadn't been on an NFL roster in 6 years and hadn't played in a meaningful game in 8, I have a hard time believing that he's going to be an effective mouthpiece for Urban Meyer in that locker room if he can't contribute to that team's success on the field.
All right, everybody's talking about it one way or the other. That could be a good thing, it could be a bad thing. And if he doesn't wind up on the roster, it could be completely irrelevant. But this doesn't seem to be going away particularly soon. Meanwhile, another quarterback in the news is Tua Tagovailoa. We'll be talking about him in a moment. The one big reason to believe the Dolphins are ready to win big right now. You need to hear what he had to say. That's on the way. Plus, so many old faces in new places. Which quarterback is under the most pressure to win next season? That's the question. We've got the answer next.
Dell Tech Fest starts now. To thank you for 40 unforgettable years, Dell Technologies is celebrating with anniversary savings on their most popular tech. For a limited time only, save on select next-gen PCs like the XPS 13 Plus, where you can make the everyday easier with Windows 11. Unleash more possibilities with cutting-edge systems, their most advanced features, and great prices. Plus, curate your dream setup with deals on select monitors, mice, and more must-have electronics and accessories. When you shop online at Dell.com/deals, you'll have access to state-of-the-art technology to match your forward-thinking spirit and free shipping on everything. Anniversary savings await you for a limited time only at Dell.com/deals. That's Dell.com/deals.
We are back with a little eye candy. All right, Chris Canty, you're a big, strong guy. But tell me what you're doing with this guy on the basketball court. That's Myles Garrett. What are your thoughts?
Greeny, I'm probably like those other two guys that are on the court getting dunked on. Myles Garrett is a freak of nature. Listen, the way he's getting up right there, there might be some NBA teams that can use a little bit of help. Maybe the Clippers should give him a call, see if he can help slow down Luka Doncic.
You know what I'm trying to figure out? Did they have a camera crew shooting this? Look at the cutaway to the guy in the orange t-shirt. Chrissy, I'm not sure if we still have the original video of it. It just kind of cuts away to a shot of him with a look of utter despair on his face. It makes one wonder, did they shoot that thing with a camera crew? Well, one way or the other. Let's talk about the guys Myles Garrett likes to sack. Those are the quarterbacks, and there are a bunch of them in new places. Matthew Stafford, Jared Goff, among those who have changed places. They, of course, traded for each other back in January. Then, last month, the Jets dealing their number 3 overall pick from several years ago, Sam Darnold, to the Panthers. So he's got a new face in a new place. And then the Colts acquiring Carson Wentz from the Eagles for a 3rd-round pick in last month's draft and a conditional pick coming forward. Here's the new coach, Frank Reich, on last year for Wentz.
Humble pie doesn't taste good, but it's good for you. It's good for you. And so it's a chance for him to acknowledge that I got to hit the reset button.
This is the game we play. This is the position that I've chosen, you know, and there's always pressure. There's always going to be pressure. There's always going to be expectations. Those things are always going to be there. It's been the same thing my whole career. Just go to work, get better every day, and block out the outside noise. And, you know, I've really felt a lot of excitement around here.
So what's it about, Damian Woody? A fresh start for a player with that in his background and all of the expectations and all of the criticism that he's heard. Humble pie doesn't taste good. I like the way Frank Reich framed that there. What is it about for Wentz and the Colts this year, D. Wood?
Well, listen, I think it's I think it's just about being comfortable if you're Carson Wentz. You're with a guy who was actually, and Frank Reich, who was your quarterback's coach, guy who was in your room day in and day out. That's a huge relationship that and a huge piece of the puzzle that we're talking about. So no one knows Carson Wentz better than Frank Reich does. And he'll make sure that not only from a game plan, standpoint, but just from a mentality, he'll be tuned in to Carson Wentz. And Carson Wentz just got to rely on the pieces around him because that's a really good roster in Indianapolis.
Diana, what are you hearing from people around the sport about the match with his old coach, obviously, and Frank Reich and the expectations?
Man, Greeny, I feel like you gave the runway to Damian to just be like, man, these quarterbacks are sensitive. Because here's the thing. This is so formulaic. Frank Reich is completely doing this on purpose. I follow the Colts' social media. I watch all the press conferences. I read all the quotes. Everything is about building up Carson Wentz. And here's the thing. That's what they need to do. Opponents in this division all feel the same way about Carson Wentz. Maybe not everybody, but a good amount of people that I've spoken to, both on the coaching and player side of this, and they believe if Carson Wentz can just get through this mental block, get that confidence back up to what we saw in 2017, 2019, you're going to see a good Carson Wentz. Look, I'm not the Dan Orlovsky of this show, but Dan's point has always been, get his mindset and everything else will come. And I think that's what Frank Wright is doing too.
Now, Chris Canty, they never seem to worry about that stuff with linemen, right? Like you and Dee Wood. They never seem to worry about all that. Get him mentally in the right place. But with the quarterbacks, they have to do
They're
it.
Tougher.
Can they do it? Will they do it in Indianapolis? Chris Canty.
Well, if he's going to be able to do it, it's going to be in Indy. He has the best opportunity there because he has the head coach who was the offensive coordinator when Carson had his best season in the NFL. It's all set up for him to have success. I mean, he's taken over the reins of a team that came a goal line sequence away from being able to win a road playoff game, a team that had a top 10 offense and a top 10 defense. So I just feel like all the pieces are in place for Carson to have a successful season. It's just a matter of him getting out of his own way. As Diana pointed out, the 6 inches between his ears, that's the biggest question mark. But again, it's set up for him. Also, he's playing in a really easy division. The AFC South is probably the easiest division in the conference, and it's probably the second worst division in pro football. So there is no excuse for Carson Wentz not to have success this year.
Fair enough, which means there's a lot of pressure. And so it does beg the question, which quarterback in the NFL is under the most pressure to succeed right now? D. Wood, I'm starting with you. Who is it?
Matthew Stafford, for me. I mean, listen, Matthew Stafford in Detroit, when he was with the Detroit Lions, put up gaudy numbers, gaudy stats, but he never won anything. Okay, now he gets traded to the Los Angeles Rams. You're talking about a team in Los Angeles, they jettisoned their quarterback that and Jared Goff that took them to the Super Bowl. So Sean McVay, Les Snead, traded for a guy who they felt like was a big upgrade. This Rams team is a Super Bowl-made team now. Matthew Stafford got to make it happen.
I'm with that. Diana, which quarterback?
Tom Brady. Just kidding. Sam Darnold. I think you know, what Carolina gave up to get him. And here's the thing, and I'm guilty of this too. We've sort of cushioned Sam. We've maybe made some excuses, and some of them are fair, that he didn't get a good shot to be successful in New York. He's got a fresh start, a fresh coaching staff, some great weapons. It's a new chapter for Sam Darnold to prove that he can be a great talent.
I like that. I liked every part of it, including the Brady joke at the beginning. Canty, you're next. Which quarterback is under the most pressure?
Greeny, it's Jordan Love if the Green Bay Packers decide they're going to trade Aaron Rodgers. And it's no fault of his own. I mean, I just think that's the cards that he was dealt. He is the genesis of all of the dysfunction and the disagreement up there with that Packers organization. You're talking about a reigning MVP that might not be back with his team, might be playing in a different uniform next season. We've never seen that in the NFL before, and it's because of Jordan Love's presence in Green Bay. He's got some big shoes to fill if the Packers do move on from Rodgers.
No, I can see all of those. I think they're all legit, and I would throw one more name into the conversation, and that's the name Tua Tagovailoa. And the simple reason is this. I think the Dolphins have put together a team that should be thinking playoffs and maybe even deep into the playoffs if they get high-level quarterback play. And there were a lot of excuses made for him last year, many of them to the point that Diana made about Darnold, fully legitimate. But now I think it is the time to prove that he is the player a lot of teams were talking about tanking for. Meanwhile, as far as self-assessment after his first year, here's something Tua said about how comfortable he was and wasn't as a rookie.
I didn't actually know the playbook necessarily really, really good. And that's on no one else's fault, you know, but my fault. Our play calls were simple when I was in, you know. I didn't have alerts and checks. Whereas now, you know, feeling more comfortable, you know, I can kind of maneuver my way, you know, through these things now.
It's an interesting thing to say that he didn't know the playbook as well as perhaps he should have. Diana, how would you describe how firm the commitment to Tua is in Miami?
The Miami Dolphins want to make this work. The sense I was getting out of that organization a few months ago was a bit lukewarm on what they felt they had there. But now they know this is their quarterback. This is the guy they want to build around. This is the guy they want to make work, which, you know, he's going to be given this year to prove that. And then we'll see what Miami does after this season. But listening to him talk about the playbook, it's alarming, but it's also a little naive. I think he's trying to just be honest and show growth. And I've heard rookies talk about this stuff in locker rooms before, maybe not so much at the podium as a quarterback, but I don't think he meant that he never truly understand. I think this is him just showing, I've grown so much. And there's a lot of truth to these quarterbacks in their first year to their second year.
I think that's fair. But, you know, I guess, Chris Canty, the point I would make on that is they're firmly committed to him for one more year. This was the fifth pick in the draft, and it is his second season. I guess that's an indicator of the way things have changed in pro football. But I do think it feels like a make-or-break year in Miami for the young quarterback. Chris Canty, do you?
I completely agree with you, Greeny. And they say they have a firm commitment to Tua going into this year. But, I mean, I think that commitment is only firm because some other quarterbacks around the NFL weren't available for trade, some guys that we thought could potentially be on the move this offseason. But the thing that makes me optimistic about Tua is that in his rookie season, he was coming off of a major hip injury in college. And so being another year removed from that and having a normal offseason with OTAs and a regular training camp, I think it's going to serve him well in terms of being able to make that jump from year one to year two.
It's a good point. There had been all that speculation about Deshaun Watson, and we all understand that that has gone in an entirely different direction. Who knows what might have happened otherwise. Damian Woody, what do you think? Miami, Tua.
No, I agree with Chris Canty. I think this offseason is going to do wonders for him. Listen, Greeny, sometimes when you come to the league, you don't know what you don't know. That's what a lot of these young guys face. But I think with Tua, with the whole offseason, we got to remember that. These guys didn't have a whole offseason last year. With the whole offseason and completely back from that hip injury, now we should see the real Tua in his second season.
I agree. And I think there's every reason to be optimistic they will. I want to make sure that my point is being made clearly. The fact that we are talking about him having to show it in year two, or they will start looking in other directions, is an indication, A, of the pressure on him, and B, just the way the sport has changed. This guy was the fifth pick in the draft. We'll continue in just a moment. It was a wild night in the NBA. Russell Westbrook fired up after a disgraceful act from the stands. We're talking about that and more next. You're watching Get Up on ESPN.